Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Good news, bad news, and just some crazy news for conservatives to chew over here. And number one, Jim, is some good news. You've been reporting on the campaign spot and elsewhere today that it looks very good for Republicans to possibly have a shot at taking back the Senate in 2012. Obviously, a big step in that direction in the 2010 midterms. And you're looking today at some specific races, namely Nebraska, but also some favorable wins in North Dakota with the retirement of Ken Conrad there. Montana, which naturally leans to Republican and certainly will in a Republican presidential candidate being on the ballot. So how optimistic should we be as we look at some of these very early poll numbers?
With all the traditional caveats, it's really early. You know, we're nearly 2 years away. A lot can happen. You can see surprise retirements, this, that, and the other thing. But you look at the early geography, and it's looking pretty good for Republicans. There are 47 seats. They need three if they have the presidency starting January 2013, and they would need four if they don't. And kind of it's that whole upper mountain range area is a bunch of good progress for them. You mentioned the retirement of Kent Conrad, and obviously North Dakota, not a state that Barack Obama is likely to be carrying great coattails in. Montana, John Tester won in 2006 in a very unique set of circumstances. He won by about 3,500 votes. He just got a top-tier challenger in Denny Rayburg, a six-term congressman who's generally won by a pretty wide margin. And because Montana has only one House seat, this guy has already effectively been running statewide every 2 years. Right. He's obviously pretty well-liked by voters out there. Ben Nelson, also known as Senator Cornhusker Kickback, has typically lousy polling, trailing not one but two potential Republican challengers in a survey for public policy polling. Now, once again, obviously it's very early, but if you're a well-known incumbent and you're polling in the 39% range, the 41% range, that's not a good place to be. So obviously he's in trouble, and just between, you know, North Dakota, Montana, and Nebraska, well, there's three seats right there. Well, then you look at probably the next two red states that are potentially shifting to Republicans. There's Missouri, where Claire McCaskill, according to the New York Times, did not want the Democratic convention to be held in St. Louis because it was going to hurt her. It was going to detract energy and resources and donations and also possibly firing up the Tea Parties in Missouri. And then there's Virginia, where Jim Webb raised an entire $12,000 over the last 3 months. You know, could he raise more money in the future? Sure, but he sure as heck isn't putting a lot of effort into it right now, which is further fueling this rumor and kind of, you know, increasing round of speculation that Jim Webb doesn't want to run for re-election. You put all that together, that's five very winnable seats, and you look at the Republican side, they only have to defend 10 seats. Scott Brown of Massachusetts is probably amongst the most vulnerable one. You also got to figure out how things shake out for Olympia Snow up in Maine, but other than that, you know, taking back the Senate looks very, very possible for Republicans at this early point.
On to the bad martini now, and as it has been for several days, it's the situation in the Middle East, specifically Egypt. Since we last talked, President Mubarak announced he would not seek re-election, which is not good enough for those people out in the square and out in the streets of Cairo, Alexandria, and Suez, and they want him gone immediately. Now you've got pro-Mubarak demonstrators clashing in the streets. The camels have come in. What seemed to be relatively ordered protests have disintegrated rather quickly. You even have some members of the media getting assaulted. The president, of course, shortly after President Mubarak spoke on Tuesday night, spoke himself in a very interesting juxtaposition here, Jim. First of all, the president says this about who the next leader of Egypt will be.
It is not the role of any other country to determine Egypt's leaders. Only the Egyptian people can do that.
Oh, well, the United States, we're not going to interfere with that. That's up to you guys how all this plays out.
Furthermore, the process must include a broad spectrum of Egyptian voices and opposition parties. It should lead to elections that are free and fair. And it should result in a government that's not only grounded in democratic principles, but is also responsive to the aspirations of the Egyptian people.
But we won't tell you who to pick. We're just going to tell you exactly how the process has to play out if this is going to be recognized. Well done, sir. Well done.
You know, there are a couple of conservatives who said that of all the statements Obama has made on Egypt, that was the least bad. And I agree with that. He's getting nominally better bit by bit each time he takes a new swing at the pinata. The problem is, it feels like by the time he says something, these circumstances changed already. I don't know if this is a matter of just the circumstances changing so quickly, or as I suspect, a bit of slow, deliberate, analytical, and ploddingly methodical decision-making on the president's part, because basically he came out and said, Obama, you know, Mubarak has to go by the time he was ready to go. I mean, these several hundred thousand people marching through the streets of Cairo for a week might have been the first signal that the situation was untenable. We have a limited amount of influence over circumstances over there, and yet we're the United States of America. We have enormous interests over there, and you kind of would hope to see that the president would be able to say, all right, we know what we want to see come out of this. Let's nudge this process along as best we can towards that direction. And instead, it feels like each day we come out with a statement that is slightly less opaque, slightly less conflicted, slightly less vague. And I just got it from a reader who said, the problem with Obama is that he always wants to be King Midas. He always wants to be the one who comes out with the great outcome. And in these circumstances, we don't really have that many great outcomes. What you're left with is a circumstance in which any position takes a risk. If you push too much towards free elections, there's a chance the Muslim Brotherhood will win and things will turn out terribly there. If you try to push back this public outrage against Mubarak, then you find yourself the risk of backing the wrong horse and also alienating this massive crowd of protesters in the streets of Cairo, some of which have, I would say as Americans, very legitimate grievances about the fact they've been living in poverty for 30 years, the fact that they have no real legitimate outlet for their anger and frustration, and just a general frustration of a stagnant form of governance for three decades. So instead, we end up with just this straddling, little bit of this, little bit of that, hedge fencing for an entire, you know, week and a half, and it just, you know, endlessly continuing. Contrast that with the Bush administration's freedom agenda, which, look, there are a lot of flaws with it, but at least everybody knows where you stand. And it kind of, the feeling that deep down, if you ask Obama, what does he really, you know, think should happen there? I'm not sure he really knows. I had this feeling that there's, you know, there was a plan A for dealing with foreign policy, which we saw during the apology tours, and there really isn't that much of a plan B. And you're seeing an administration winging it day by day, and it's just not terribly reassuring, Greg.
Yeah, not encouraging whatsoever. Just a little bit of time left here for our third martini today. And before we get to the one it actually is, this was an honorable mention one pretty much all 3 days so far this week. Here's Chuck Schumer over the weekend talking about the big budget fights up on Capitol Hill. This guy's been a lawyer. He's been on the House and now the Senate Judiciary Committee. And this is his understanding of how our government is formed. Listen.
You know, we have three branches of government. We have a House, we have a Senate, we have a President. And all three of us are going to have to come together and give some. But it is playing with fire to risk the shutting down of the government.
I don't know who he thought he was confirming in some of those confirmation hearings in the Senate Judiciary.
I was just about to say, Greg, so reassuring to know that man has a confirmation vote on Supreme Court justices.
Exactly. The actual third martini today is the fact that not that the Democrats have decided to go with Charlotte, North Carolina for their convention. That's fine. It's a good city, and I'm sure the city will do a good job hosting that convention. But one of the things we've learned, Jim, is that one of the reasons the Democrat picked that city is because it did such a good job hosting the NRA convention. You know how much the Democrats love the NRA. It's almost like the Republicans saying, you know, I wasn't sure if we're going to go with Tampa in 2012, but they did such a good job with the AFL-CIO and the NARAL conventions that we just had no other choice.
Now, I would point out there are some Democrats who would jump up and object strenuously, the Heath Shulers of the world, who would say that they are big fans of the Second Amendment. And, you know, Heath Shuler himself addressed the NRA convention last year. I remember when I was at there at Charlotte last year, there was kind of the you know, one of the topics that was mentioned by locals was that this was sort of a dress rehearsal for their bid to host the Democratic convention. And the NRA convention is huge. It brings in, I believe, 80,000 people, maybe even more than that. Probably one of the largest conventions you will see. So it's just kind of a bit of an irony there. I think a lot of people are trying to read a lot of meaning into the selection, the idea that Democrats think they can keep North Carolina and they think it'll have a good spillover effect into Virginia. I have my doubts of this. And if you look at most convention city selections, for the Republicans, it's never done the trick. It didn't work for New York in 2004. It didn't work for St. Paul in 2008. Didn't work for Philadelphia in 2000, didn't work for San Diego in California. But you look at all those states, you know, New York, California, Pennsylvania, and Minnesota, those are all pretty Democratic states most years. So it's not like you could say, oh, the convention didn't work. That's the only reason that that they didn't carry those states. Those are pretty deep blue states. Democrats, on the other hand, generally have picked places that are very safe, like Los Angeles in 2000 or Chicago a couple of years before that, Boston in 2004. The one case they probably would argue this is Denver last in last election cycle. And as much as, you know, I'm sure the Denver organizers like to say it really helped the Obama campaign in that state, I have my doubts about that. You look at how Republicans in Colorado really were in sad shape in the 08 cycle, of just kind of up and down the ticket. Will it help them in 2012? Possibly. But then again, Claire McCaskill didn't want it in St. Louis. Right. So clearly it's not this unalloyed positive for local Democratic candidates.
Jim, it's obvious that Senator Kay Hagan's not on the ballot in 2012 because obviously she and Claire McCaskill would have had to arm wrestle over which city didn't get it. So good to know that the Democrats are really excited about having having this in their home city. And we'll see if that plays well or does not play well for Claire McCaskill and Democrats in 2012. Jim, a big day. We'll talk tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg. See ya.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us tomorrow for the next 3 Martini Lunch.